Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, our mission here is always really trying to cut through all that information noise and just hand you exactly what you need to get up to speed right away. Today, we are doing a deep dive into web application development companies. But look, it's not just about the code they write. We're talking the full strategy, the whole blueprint for, well, what makes digital success work today?
That's exactly right. So if you're maybe thinking about evaluating a tech partner, or even if you just want to get knowledgeable fast about this whole area, which is, let's face it, pretty high stakes, we're really focusing on two main things today. First, the key criteria for picking a great partner. And second, how you actually future-proof your investment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about AI, edge computing, all that cutting-edge stuff.
Yeah, and the money involved here can be huge, can it?
Yeah.
So picking the right partner is just critical. We're really talking about the core operating system for so many businesses now.
Absolutely. I mean, just look at the growth numbers. The web development market globally was looking at something like, what, $76 billion for 2025? That scale alone tells you why getting the architecture right from the start is so important, and it's projected to keep growing pretty significantly. An 8% compound annual growth rate through 2035. What's driving that? Well, a big part is the cloud, obviously, lowering those infrastructure hurdles, and also this huge demand for AI and automation.
Okay, so before we dive into the companies doing the building, let's just quickly nail down the product itself. What exactly is a web application, you know, in today's world?
Right. So simply put, it's software that runs straight from your web browser. No installation needed on your machine, none at all. It's all hosted online, centrally managed, and you just access it with a regular web address, a URL. Think about things like Salesforce or Google Docs, maybe your online bank portal. Those are all sophisticated web applications. And they're essential because, well, everyone can access them instantly and updates happen centrally, easily.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Because often when people think about hiring a development firm, they might have maybe a narrow view, like, I just need some coders.
Mm.
But the research we looked at shows, well, the scope of a really good web app partner is way broader than that. It's huge.
Oh, it has to be, yeah. The role goes so far beyond just, you know, typing out code. It really starts with the business strategy itself. Then there's long-term road mapping, rigorous testing, of course, and maybe one of the most vital parts, continuous improvement, keeping that app secure, keeping it aligned with how the business changes over time.
Right. So if we were to break down that whole service scope, like the ingredients they should be bringing to the table, what should someone expect a potential partner to actually deliver?
Well, it usually kicks off with road mapping and discovery. That's where they really dig in to clarify the business needs, figure out the requirements, and crucially, select the right technology stack, you know, balancing performance, cost, future needs. Then you've got UI UX web design. That's all about making it easy, intuitive, even enjoyable for the user. Optimizing that flow.
That makes total sense. The interface is often the first thing people judge, isn't it? And then you get into the actual building blocks.
Exactly. And the development itself is kind of split in two. You've got the front end. That's everything the user sees and interacts with. It needs to be responsive, intuitive. And then there's the back end. That's the powerhouse. It handles all the core application logic, the databases, the APIs connecting things, and maybe most importantly, all the security, keeping the data safe.
Got it. So front end is the visible part, back end is the engine room doing the heavy lifting and security.
Precisely. But, you know, those two pieces don't work alone. You also absolutely need quality assurance QA. That means both manual testing and automated testing routines and comprehensive integrations, making sure this new application talks properly to all your other systems.
Integrations, that often feels like the hidden iceberg, doesn't it? Connecting to your CRM, your ERP system, payment gateways, that sort of thing.
It can definitely be complex, yes. And the final piece of the puzzle is the ongoing maintenance and deployment, making sure it stays reliable, secure, and performant long after it first goes live. Honestly, any partner who just builds it and then walks away, that's not really a partner.
Okay. Now, within that big picture, the source material really emphasized two specific types of development, custom and responsive. Why are those two so important today? What makes them stand out?
Right. So custom development, that's all about avoiding the limitations of off-the-shelf software. It means building the application precisely around your specific business workflow, however unique or complex it might be. The benefit, you stop wasting time with inefficient workarounds, you maximize your team's efficiency, and it lets you scale exactly how your business needs to without hitting software walls.
Responsive web development. That sounds like it's all about making it work everywhere.
It's basically non-negotiable now. Absolutely essential. Think about how people access things, phones, tablets, laptops, big desktop monitors. The application has to adapt smoothly, automatically to any screen size, no pinching and zooming. And developers usually achieve this using well-established frameworks, things like Bootstrap or Tailwind CSS are common examples.
Okay, and this idea of finding a full-stack partner, someone who handles both the front end and the back end, I mean, it sounds simpler, right? One throat to choke, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a potential downside? A risk in putting all your architectural eggs in one basket?
That's a really sharp question. And yeah, there can be. On the one hand, yes, a full stack team simplifies things. You've got one point of contact, clear accountability for the whole platform. That's good. But the risk comes if they aren't truly experts on both sides. Maybe they're amazing at the front end, making things look beautiful, but only, let's say, adequate on the back end infrastructure and security side. That's where things can get dangerous. So vetting that they have deep, balanced expertise across the full stack is absolutely crucial to avoid that potential single point of failure.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. So if that was section one covering the fundamentals, here's where it gets really interesting. Section two seems to dive into the really cutting edge stuff. We're moving beyond just standard web apps now. We're talking about smart apps.
That's the big shift, isn't it? AI integration. It's quickly moving from being a nice to have or a future thing to basically being expected. Table stakes. Modern applications are increasingly expected to have features like automation to reduce manual work, real-time analytics giving you instant insights into how people are using the app, even things like natural language interfaces, you know, where you can talk to the application. These capabilities, they're often built using specialized AI development services, or ADEV, and they fundamentally change and enhance both the user experience and what the application can actually do.
So thinking ahead maybe to 2025 and beyond, what are the big architectural trends, the things that people making decisions need to understand to make sure their partner is actually building something future-proof?
Yeah, there are about four major trends that really stand out in the research. First one, AI native and on-device AI. This is huge. AI isn't just something you call out to externally via an API anymore. Browsers themselves are starting to support running AI models locally on the user's device. So imagine things like translation or summarizing text or personalizing content happening right there in your browser. Without sending your data off to some cloud server, that's a massive win for speed and for privacy too.
Wow, okay, that does sound like a fundamental change in how things are built. What's the next big shift on the infrastructure side?
That would be cloud native, serverless, and edge delivery. Essentially, development teams are moving away from managing their own dedicated servers. It's too much hassle. Think of serverless like switching from owning your own power plant to just paying the electric company. You only pay for the computing power you actually use when you use it, and the cloud provider handles all the scaling up and down automatically. No more paying for idle servers. It's much more efficient.
And the edge delivery part, where does that fit in?
Right. So edge computing is about running parts of the application logic much closer to where the end users actually are, geographically closer. This dramatically cuts down latency, you know, that slight delay between clicking something and seeing the result. It's absolutely essential for really demanding things like real-time collaborative documents where multiple people are editing at once, or high-quality video streaming, or complex IoT dashboards pulling in data constantly. It makes things feel almost instantaneous.
Okay, so that covers the infrastructure and where the processing happens.
Yeah.
What about performance inside the browser itself?
Good point. That leads to the third trend, WebAssembly, or WASM for short. This technology is really picking up steam for features that need a lot of processing power. If you need something to run almost as fast as a native desktop application, but within the web browser, things like, say, heavy-duty multimedia editing, complex data visualizations, or even running AI models directly in the browser, like we mentioned, WASM lets developers compile code written in languages like C++ or Rust to run super fast in the browser, near native speed.
Interesting. And finally, it sounds like one established approach is still holding strong.
Yeah. The fourth one is that progressive web apps, or PWAs, they're definitely still a first-class citizen. They haven't gone away. They continue to provide really solid app-like experiences, think offline access, push notifications, but without all the complexity and gatekeeping of the traditional app stores. The fact that companies are still investing heavily in PWAs confirms they still offer significant business value.
Okay, so when you lay out all those trends, WASM, AI running on the device, serverless, edge computing, it becomes pretty clear, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's no way a single internal team can realistically master all of that at once. Which kind of brings us back to the core question. Why outsource? Why hand over this complex, super important development to an external partner?
What's fascinating here is, why outsource? The core value really boils down to risk reduction. You're essentially buying specialized expertise to avoid costly mistakes. If you try to build something complex like this internally for the first time, you run a high risk of, performance bottlenecks, integrations that break down, critical security vulnerabilities, mm-hmm. because your team is learning as they go, a top-tier external partner. They've likely solved these exact problems hundreds of times before. They have the patterns, the experience.
So the real strategic value isn't just getting it built, it's mitigating the significant risks involved by bringing in that focused knowledge.
Precisely. And it goes beyond just avoiding pitfalls. They actively build in value. For example, scalability is usually architected in from day one. They design the systems anticipating growth, ready to handle big spikes in users or transactions without needing a costly disruptive rebuild later. Plus, their established processes, their experience, usually leads to more predictable project costs and timelines, and often a much faster time to market compared to building it all from scratch internally because they're not reinventing the wheel.
Right. And the specifics of this work, the risks and requirements, they change quite a bit depending on the industry you're in. Let's touch on some of the industry applications that came up in the research.
Definitely. Take healthcare. Here, the absolute top priority is security and compliance. Knowledge of regulations like IPAE, which governs patient data privacy in the U.S., it's completely non-negotiable. You can't fake that. So partners in the space build things like secure patient portals, complex telehealth platforms, medical imaging software, and increasingly AI-powered healthcare solutions, maybe for diagnostic support, all require deep domain expertise alongside the tech skills.
And then you've got the complete opposite end, almost, in terms of needs. The financial sector, ultra-low latency becomes critical there.
Yeah, finance and trading, it's a demanding mix. You need extreme performance and rigorous regulatory compliance, often contradictory forces. So firms build secure payment processing systems, real-time investment dashboards, automated trading algorithms, sophisticated risk management tools. They have to balance Fort Knox levels of security with the need for transactions to happen, almost instantly. Milliseconds matter. And if you look specifically at the SaaS sector software as a service, the challenges there are often around building robust multi-tenant architectures, where many different customers use the same core platform securely, and integrating smoothly with specialized subscription billing systems like Stripe or maybe PayPal.
Okay, this is great context. It brings us to what's probably the most practical part of our deep dive today. You've got the background now, you understand the scope, the trends, the value, but how do you actually use that knowledge to pick the right partner? This feels like the checklist section, the part to make sure you choose smart.
Exactly. This raises that important question. Okay, we've defined all this complexity, all these trends. How do you actually sort through the potential partners? How do you tell the really capable ones from the ones who just talk a good game? You need a really specific set of high expectation questions to ask, a vetting checklist.
Let's walk through those critical questions from the source material then. What's the absolute number one thing you need to ask for? Proof. Right.
Yes. Demand, they show you live applications similar to yours. Don't just look at polished slide decks or mock-ups. Past performance is genuinely the best indicator of future success here. If you're in finance, ask them, show me a live, secure, high-performance dashboard you built. Mm. If you need a HIPAA-compliant healthcare platform, say, show me one that's operating right now, securely, in production, for a client like me. See it working.
Makes sense. See it, don't just hear about it. And the second question is about getting transparency on their technology choices.
Correct. Framework recommendations and trade-offs. Look, any decent firm can list popular technologies, React, Angular, Vue, whatever. But the key is they must clearly articulate why a specific tech stack is the right choice for your unique project. How does it balance performance needs, long-term maintenance costs, scalability requirements, maybe hiring availability? If their reasoning is vague, where it sounds like they're just recommending what their current developers happen to like using, that's a major red flag. They need to justify it based on your needs.
We talked earlier about how critical ongoing support is. That comes up next.
Yes. Question three, long-term support. Don't just accept vague promises. You need to demand a clear, documented plan. How will they handle ongoing monitoring? Security patching, future feature updates or enhancements. Remember, a huge number of security breaches and performance issues actually crop up months or even years after the initial launch. So you absolutely want to avoid any partner offering just a build it and hand it over package. That's not good enough.
And given those industry examples, healthcare, finance, security, and compliance clearly need their own focus.
Absolutely. Question 4 digs into security and compliance specifics. You need more than just buzzwords. Ask them directly about their experience with relevant industry frameworks. Expect them to clearly mention things like HIPAA for healthcare data, GDPR for European user data privacy, or PCI DSS for handling credit card information. If they just give you generic answers like, oh yeah, we follow security best practices, that often means they lack the deep necessary regulatory knowledge for your specific industry. Be wary.
Okay, and question 5 gets personal, focusing on the actual people who will do the work.
Right. Team composition is so important. Ask specifically who will be assigned to your project. What's their experience level, their seniority? You're not just hiring the company's logo. You're hiring the skills and experience of the individuals on that team. You really need to watch out for that classic bait and switch.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the super experienced senior architect impresses you during the sales pitch, but then the actual day-to-day coding gets handed off entirely to junior developers or maybe an offshore team you never met. You need clarity on who is actually building your application.
And finally, circling back to that integration piece, make it all work together.
Exactly. Question 6, integration with existing systems. This is critical. Don't accept general claims. Ask for specific, verifiable examples of projects where they've successfully integrated with common enterprise tools. Things like your CRM system, your ERP platform, specific payment gateways, maybe marketing automation tools. They need to prove they know how to connect your new application seamlessly into your existing business technology ecosystem. And just a quick reality check on timelines and budget people often ask about. Complex enterprise web apps, they rarely take less than, say, 1,000 development hours. Often it's more like 2,000, 2,500 hours, sometimes exceeding 3,000 for really large systems. So the focus really needs to be on the long-term return on investment, the ROI, not just the initial price tag.
Okay, so let's try and pull this all together. What does this all mean? It seems clear that web application development isn't just a technical task anymore, is it? It's absolutely fundamental to how businesses scale, how they manage risk, how they compete. And the best partners, the really valuable ones, they move way beyond just writing code. They deliver the full strategic thinking. They know how to weave in these cutting-edge AI features. And crucially, they reduce your long-term business risk because they bring that specialized, up-to-date expertise.
That sums it up perfectly, yes. And maybe just to leave you with one final thought to mull over, something provocative, perhaps. Think about this. The true measure of a really great web development partner today, and it isn't just the elegance of the code they write, it's not just the features, it's how deeply, how thoroughly they embed security right from the very beginning, from requirement zero. Because attackers, they're now using AI themselves to find vulnerabilities to reverse engineer applications faster than ever. So a partner who treats security not as some checklist item at the end, but as a fundamental core product feature, that's the partner who gives your application the best chance to actually survive and hopefully thrive once it's out there in the wild in production. Security is survival.